Welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado, Colorado's premier outdoor radio show, heard every Saturday afternoon on KLZ 560, with insights on hunting, fishing, archery, guns, and ammo from Colorado's top outfitters, featuring the industry's leading experts on how to enhance your experience in the great outdoors. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley.
Welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Scott Whatley, and we are glad you are with us. In studio today, I want to welcome Willie Schmidt from Pure Hunting and also Trevin Stolfus from Outback Outdoors. Gentlemen, great to see you today.
Good to see you too, Scott.
It's nice to be here.
You know, guys, we got a lot of things out there that we really wanted to bring attention to, and we got in touch with each other, and I think these are some things with our government, house bills, different things going on. So today is going to be a little bit different type of show, a little bit more informational and different things that we feel those of us that love the outdoors need to be aware of. So many times when we lose some of our freedoms, you know, we will complain about it, but we really didn't get involved in it or really did not take the time to get the knowledge about the specific issue. And today we want to bring some of those issues to light. So, Willie, for maybe those that some of those don't know you, let's give a little introduction about yourself. And
yeah, real quick, Scott, we've done this a couple of times, but Willie Schmidt, I'm a local Coloradoan, part of a TV show called Pure Hunting that airs on the Sportsman Channel, and we'll be airing season 6 this fall. So you and I have developed a bit of a relationship with all the outdoors sure. type opportunities, and Trev, who's also in studio, we go back several years as well, another show, but more importantly, a friendship and supporting the outdoors. So you can like me on Facebook and whatnot with anything associated with Pure Hunting.
Pure Hunting.
I just like him right now.
I do. I just give him a like right now.
And I'm Trev, and I'm also a local. Outback Outdoors is the television show we produce, and it's on the Sportsman's Channel on Friday nights. And we're excited. Willie's show is actually coming back. It's coming full force here. We're going to get some new episodes. Pretty excited about that. Yep. And we're wrapping up the first quarter. So it's kind of fun.
Well, good deal. All right, Trevin, I'm going to let you kick it off here. Let's talk about number 621.
H.R. 621. If you have anything to do with the industry of hunting, or if you're on Facebook and just happen to have some hunting friends, you probably saw something about this. This really made a buzz. And basically what that was, I have the actual bill in front of me, which was they were to direct the Secretary of the Interior to sell certain federal lands in Arizona, Colorado, Idaho, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Mexico, Oregon, Utah, and Wyoming, previously identified as suitable for disposal. So basically what they were proposing in this bill, H.R. 621, was they deemed some land unusable, and they were going to sell it off. And it's our public land. And an outcry went out. There's a lot of groups out there that jumped onto this, saw it early enough, got the word out, and sportsmen spoke.
Loud and clear.
Yeah, very loud and clear. And it was actually withdrawn. So their voices were heard. And the gentleman, let me see if I've got his, if I want to say his name right. He's out of Utah, is the one that put it forward. I'll pull that up in a sec. But anyway, he withdrew it. And so it's kind of, I don't want to say a notch on our belt, but in a way, we rallied together
right.
as sportsmen, and our voice was heard. And that's good, because we hunt public land. I mean, that's where a lot of us spend the majority of our time,
mm-hmm.
hunting the chasing, not always killing, but chasing critters that we love to pursue, and those lands are ours. So I think that's a big win for us.
Right. Who is the group or the person that deems these properties unusable? I mean, who is that?
Somebody in government, I guess. You know, with this, I think it was said earlier on. I don't think it actually, when they proposed this, I think that somebody had said that in some interviews years ago. Maybe even Clinton. I'm not sure. I don't want to misquote
right.
Mr. Clinton. But former President Clinton.
Right.
They deemed them unnecessary, unusable. What they forgot was that's the home and the habitat for those animals. And so what would have happened, in my understanding, was they would have sold it off and it would either have been privatized, and then who knows what would have happened to the hunting rights for the public and stuff like that. So,
right. And Willie, what are you hearing from the folks that you're around in your industry side?
Well, from that standpoint, it came on hot and heavy. I think, like a lot of things, it was floating around for a little bit, and then it just got a little bit of leg on social media. And in a very short period of time, everybody spoke, and I think it was Trev, within 24 or 48 hours, it was conveyed that that was removed off the table. Hmm. So you heard a little bit here and there of the transfer from the feds to the states, and I mean, like a lot of political issues, it's a very polarizing issue. Some people would rather have their states in control. Others would rather have it in federal control. And Trev's going to talk about another thing, even though 621 was squashed, what has transpired as a result of that and what that may mean, and advantages and disadvantages all the way around. But I think at the end of the day, our federal lands controlled by the federal government, the policies and procedures are in place. A lot of them don't work great, but they're there, mm-hmm. and they have the ways to police, whether it's Forest Service, BLM, and otherwise, to monitor those. And the transfer to the states, they'd get all this ground, but then they don't have the resources and able to monitor and do that type of thing. And that's where the concern was, that the states would just sell it off to raise the money and get it out of their hair.
Well, right. And I think we've got a gentleman that'll be calling in. His name's John. Make sure I say his name right. John Gale, and he's the conservation director for Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. And these guys do a wonderful job of finding out what's going on, mm-hmm. because a lot of this stuff tries to fly under the radar.
Sure.
And if you give some of these government agencies or different people an inch, they'll take a mile. And so BHA is really, really watching our backs. It's an organization we need to support. So we're going to have him come on, help us, because there's actually a piggyback to 621, which is 622. And a lot of people don't understand what that's about. And we're going to talk about that, because that's still on the table. And that's something we need to speak out about, understand. There's a lot of misinformation going on right now.
Right.
So,
and, you know, a lot of these groups like this, and there are some deals, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, you know, Ducks Unlimited, and SCI, all these different things. You can join some of these deals for $30-$35 a year. And I'm telling you, that money can add up. And that's an organization, from my understanding, and we've had them on the show a few times, the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, that's a good group to be a part of.
It's a great group. And I'm a proponent of any conservation group. They're the guys that are in the trenches. I'll be honest. I don't want to go to Washington and lobby. Mm-hmm. That makes me sick at my stomach. Okay? So there's other people that do that. And if we're not supporting them, if we're not supplying them, and the people watching our backs as hunters, oh, man, we're in trouble.
So they're just looking at this the other side of just a money thing of selling off the land, right?
Well, I'm not sure what the stance was. I don't think there's a good reason. And I think that's why we were heard. I think that's why sportsmen spoke out. Now, 622 is a little bit different, and it's gonna turn a little bit of a corner in the fact that 622, basically, H.R. 622, they're proposing to terminate law enforcement in the U.S. Forest Service and the BLM. Okay, let me explain what that means. Being a former police officer, I kind of have a little bit of law enforcement, or at least a little bit of a insight to what it is to be a law enforcement agent. And they're talking about taking that away. Those organizations will not do the law enforcement on Forest Service and BLM, and it'll go back to the local county. Okay, so that means your sheriff's office will then be in charge of not only the neighborhoods they patrol, but also the Forest Service, the BLM, some of these other big, large areas, and there's some real issues with that.
Right.
I'm a huge proponent of smaller federal government. Let the states run things. I'm a constitutionalist, the whole nine yards, but there is a point where you have to step back and go, is this really the best? And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Mm-hmm. And there are some things, I think, with our new administration that hopefully Mr. Trump will...
President Trump.
Yeah, President Trump, I should
say. I like
say.
The sound of
Me
that.
Me too, actually. And but hopefully, you know, all the things he's got on his plate is certainly a number of issues. He's wanting to jump on here quickly and has already done so. But hopefully these will be some things that he'll get involved in too, because, I mean, there's a sportsman family. Boys, you know, hunt, his sons hunt, yep. and all mm-hmm. that. So hopefully that'll be something too.
Quick question for you, Trev. You're much more knowledgeable and studied up on 622. So if the feds stop the law enforcement at the Forest Service and BLM level, just use those. I'm sure there's other, maybe national parks and otherwise. But will they give the states money to take that on, or is it we're just cutting this out of our budget?
No,
you got to figure out a way
question.
To do it.
Yeah, that's a great question. And what they're proposing is they're going to grant, through grants, they're going to give the local counties the money to enforce it. Okay, that's all well and good. But coming from a law enforcement background where I was a police officer, I know how that'll end up. If you're patrolling a beat, let's say, and you are, you're going to be where most people are because your job is going to be to patrol that. And so it's going to make some of those further reaching forest roads and BLM two tracks or whatever, they're not going to get the type of eyes on
sure.
that we would with the Forest Service. Now, understand that's the Forest Service law enforcement, mm-hmm. the enforcement agency, and the BLM rangers. Now, don't be misunderstood. There's a lot of misinformation that this has nothing to do with wildlife. Game and fish is still going to be there. They're still going to do their thing. But the hard part comes in the understanding of these monies going to this county, to the sheriff's office, let's say, and now you have that patrol. Maybe they bring on some more patrol officers. Well, they're already understaffed.
Sure.
Okay, but now you add how many millions of acres to what they have to. It's just going to be tough. But we'll talk about both sides of that. I think the other side is, again, it's still nice to get things out of sometimes the federal government doesn't run things the best and the most efficient. But let's look at the big picture, and then let's be able to be educated and take a side.
Right. We've got to take a short break. We'll be back right after this break. Willie Schmidt is with us from Pure Hunting. Trevin Stolfus, Outback Outdoors. We'll be right back.
In a flash, from out of nowhere, your whole life can change forever. It happened so quickly, nobody saw it coming. Soon, the medical bills will be arriving.
Will insurance cover your injuries? Does the other driver have assets? Should I sue?
It was his fault, after all. After an accident, you need to call the law offices of Flesh Law. Flesh Law will never settle until you are fully compensated for your injuries.
Call 303-806-8886 for the Flesh Law Firm. 303-806-8886. Online, go to fleshlawfirm.com.
Flesh Law, the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys.
If you're looking for a place you're always welcome, let me recommend Kiowa Creek Sporting Club. Hi, this is Scott Watley. Just 20 miles east of Denver, Kiowa Creek has it all. A professionally designed sporting clays course, archery range, and year-round dog training fields. Be sure and leave time to relax in the spacious clubhouse. For all Kiowa Creek Sporting Club has to offer, call 303-644-4627 or check out their website, kiowacreek.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado, and with your one-year membership purchase, you'll receive 100 free sporting clays. Call 303-644-4627. That's 303-644-4627. Kiowa Creek Sporting Club is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
Hi, Dan Johnson, General Manager at Len Lyle Chevrolet. You know, I hear it all the time. If you give me a good enough deal, I'll buy your vehicle. So here it is, a 2017 Crew Cab 4x4 loaded for up to $11,000 off MSRP. Or how about a 2017 Chevy Cruze, sign and drive lease for only $199 a month? Heck, that's cheaper than a used car. And we'll pay top dollar for your trade-in. So go east and pay the lease. Len Lyle Chevrolet, I-225 in East Colfax, or on the web at lynnlylechevy.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley, along with Trevin Stolfus from Outback Outdoors, Mr. Willie Schmidt from Pure Hunting, talking about a few issues that are out there that we want to make all of our listeners aware of. And Trevin, I believe you got a phone guest lined up for us.
We
sir.
Do. This is John Dale. He's the conservation director for Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. And John is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to what's going on with HR 622. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be on. I love what you guys do, and sounds like you had a Willie Schmidt on, someone else that I follow and really appreciate, not just as a Coloradan, but as a sportsman in general.
How are you, John? Thank you for the compliment.
I have you a man crush on him, too.
So, John, take a minute. Just tell us about your organization. We've had Tim Brass on here a few times over the years with our Sportsman of Colorado show, but tell us just a little bit about your organization.
Well, Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is the sportsman's voice for our wild public lands, waters, and wildlife. We represent those that are going deep into the backcountry, seeking solitude, into those opportunities for solace, and really testing themselves against the elements in pursuit of hunting and fishing opportunities. You know, I like to say Backcountry Hunters and Anglers represents the most hardcore of sportsmen in that we do it the hard way, we go in deeper, and we always come out heavier.
That's good. I like that. I like that. But another thing you guys do that a lot of people don't realize is you guys got the back lines. You guys are watching what's going on in meetings far away from us and far away from the backcountry to protect our rights and to keep these open spaces available for us to hunt.
That's right. We have chapters all across the United States and Canada as well. And our model is to represent the local interests. We refer to our boots on the ground. We don't get involved unless we've got boots on the ground in the place. And so we marry this unique local approach at the state and local level with our policy expertise so that we can walk into a congressman's office in Washington, D.C. and really hammer home why it's important that they make a particular decision or vote a certain way to ensure that we're representing the best interests of hunters and anglers at any given time, whether that's advancing a piece of legislation that's going to do good work or trying to defeat a piece of legislation that we think is ill-conceived and shouldn't have been brought forth in the first place. I think that gives us tremendous authenticity, but also a wide degree of influence. And as we grow bigger and stronger, we're seeing our influence grow bigger and stronger as well. And I think that's something that our members gravitate towards, you know, a really action-oriented organization that's going out there and working on the best interests of not only fish and wildlife, but their habitat and our sporting traditions of hunting and fishing.
Yeah, that's
great. So, John, if we all just went to sleep here and did not get involved in these issues, what could we stand to lose as sportsmen?
I think we stand to lose everything. If America falls asleep and doesn't participate, doesn't engage, do their civic duty, other people are going to make decisions without us. The people that show up make the decisions, and if you're not there, someone else is deciding for you. We can all ignore politics as much as we want to, and sometimes that's the best part of getting into the backcountry and getting outside is we can create some distance from the buzz of life. Right. And things like politics that divide people. But at the end of the day, decision makers, elected officials, politicians are going to make decisions that impact our interests. And if we fall asleep at the wheel, they're going to run this thing in the ditch. And we have credible examples of congressmen in place right now trying to sell off our public lands, trying to reduce public access, trying to serve special interests over the American people, the people that they're supposed to be back there representing. And if we let other people make decisions for us, and not just seeing public land sold off or something like that, but looking at the way they're managed, we want to see them managed for the best interests of all uses on public lands, but so that one use doesn't come at the expense of another. We don't want to see our public access eroded, which I think is another threat. And certainly if we don't take care of the fish and wildlife habitat, how can we expect to have healthy, robust populations of fish and wildlife, which are sort of core to our hunting and fishing traditions? You know, we are the original conservationists. Hunters and anglers, you know, stepped aside at the turn of the century in the late 1800s, early 1900s, said, you know, we got to do something. Our wildlife are in trouble. And we've been on the front lines making sure that we take care of those critters out there. And so if our people, the American people in general, don't really realize this amazing inheritance that is our public lands estate and the fact that our country separates itself from other countries in that the fish and wildlife belong to the people under the public trust doctrine. That's unique. I've lived overseas for several years. I've traveled the world and been really lucky. And we have it really good here. It's real special.
Yeah.
And I think we need to take care of this special treasure. And it's our duty as stewards for the future of America and the next generations of hunters and anglers and people outside that want to enjoy this unique inheritance. It's our job to pass that down and make sure that it isn't compromised in any way.
That's great. That's good. Good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and one of the questions I think that Scott had asked in the previous segment before you were on, John, is when it came to 621 and the transfer or the sale of lands that were deemed unusable, you know, Scott's question was, who deemed those lands unusable? And I think that speaks volumes to your issue that if we aren't paying attention to this, people are making the decisions for us. Unusable to some people is certainly
yeah.
the most usable for us who like to get away and get out and hunt and fish and enjoy the great outdoors.
Absolutely. And I think you saw the public roar and uprising against that. And there was a lot of people that, you know, said no, but hell no, when it came to the idea of selling off public lands. You know, even like a small acreage of public lands could be the honey hole for that guy that has been, you know, elk hunting in this spot on BLM lands for a long time in Utah and Arizona, and it's maybe where he shot his biggest elk, or it's where his father took him hunting for the first time, it's where he takes his kids hunting. You know, every place on public lands is special to someone, and the idea that we would dispose of them en masse the way H.R. 621 proposed to do is just a travesty, and we're pleased to see Congressman Chaffetz see the error of his ways.
Yeah.
It certainly helped the backcountry hunters and anglers and our friends and partners out there, you know, let them hear about it. And we're very vocal about their opposition to it. And we're very happy to see the congressman rescind that bill, take it back, and realize that he was on the wrong side of that and probably shouldn't have brought it forth in the first place.
Yeah, and that's a win for us. We talked about that last time. But let's jump right into 622. Now, this is a piggyback to 621. Briefly, let's explain what 622 is.
H.R. 622 is another bill that Congressman Chaffetz from Utah introduced at the same time he did 621. And basically, this would eliminate federal agents and officers nationwide that are doing law enforcement for the United States Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management. It would completely eliminate all those positions, and that's around 26,000 federal agents, I believe. I can't remember the exact number. It's a huge number of people, and these roles are incredibly important. And provide a unique law enforcement on public lands that isn't provided by sheriffs or local law enforcement. And you know, I can get down into the details, but I just wanted to stop myself there in case you have any questions. But it's a very straight up bill that would basically eliminate all those federal law enforcement positions on Forest Service and BLM lands.
And when I first saw that, I actually looked and I read that and I thought, okay, why is that so bad? Let's take more power from the federal government and let's give it to local authorities. And then as time goes on, and of course I actually talked to a couple of different people, my eyes were open to the fact that what we're doing. Let's set aside the fact that there's all those jobs being lost, but let's concentrate on what the crux of this is that's people that are in the woods that are helping to monitor what's going on. Okay, if being a former law enforcement officer, I know what it is to patrol, and if we put all of that onto local law enforcement, they're going to be overwhelmed. They're already overwhelmed, and what's going to end up happening is you're going to end up losing those eyeballs. You're going to, you know, and although that they don't enforce game violations, a BLM ranger or law enforcement officer, a Forest Service law enforcement officer, they do see what's going on out there, and then they can turn around and partner with Game and Fish and all of this stuff and get the right people involved.
No, you're absolutely right, and I appreciate that all you've done as a law enforcement officer yourself. I think you understand more than most people what the importance of these roles are. You know, it's interesting, and I tend to agree with you sometimes that smaller government can be more efficient and better run government. But it's positions like these that make it critical to our federal public lands to have sort of law and order, and the fact that most sheriffs tend to, you know, spend their time where the people are at, right? We're talking about millions and millions of acres of backcountry lands. And if you're looking at places like New Mexico and Arizona that have a tremendous amount of BLM and Forest Service lands, you've got unique challenges there with immigration. And I say that meaning illegal immigration. You have people running drugs across the border. And so our law enforcement officers down there play a pivotal role in collaborating with border patrol agents, those law enforcement entities,
right,
in addition to sheriffs and local police departments. They keep our public lands safe. And where you have sort of special, unique treasures and artifacts on public lands, they play a critical role in protecting those resources. Right. They play a critical role in protecting our timber lands and make sure there's no illegal harvesting of timber, oil and gas resources, you know, minerals, mining. There's a lot of important parts of this federal law enforcement role that most people are unfamiliar with. And you know, there's an argument to be made that part of this bill.
Hey, John, let me ask you this.
Creating a granting. Go ahead.
I'm up against a hard break. Keep your train of thought. Can you hang with us through a break,
sure,
and we can bring you back for a third segment? Our second
for sure
segment. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Hang with us just a minute. You're listening to Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Scott Watley, along with Trevin Stolfus from Outback Outdoors, Willie Schmidt. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about backcountry hunters and anglers, how you can help them, how you can become a member of their organization. All that and more on Sportsman of Colorado. We'll be right back.
This is Red Merrill for Phoenix Weaponry. Phoenix Weaponry is a weapon manufacturer that services the firearm enthusiast. From precision ARs to suppressors, Phoenix Weaponry can make your dreams come true. Phoenix Weaponry is a full-service gun shop that offers gunsmithing, coating, and modifications to your own weapon. Phoenix Weaponry, family-owned and operated right here in Colorado. If you can dream it, Phoenix Weaponry can build it. Call today, 720-340-2496. Again, that's 720-340-2496. Or visit their website, phoenixweaponry.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 10% off your custom-built weapon.
What if it was possible to train your body how to burn excess fat through natural homeopathic means? Dr. Julie Marchial uses a time-tested protocol to unlock unnecessary fat stores in your body, converting fat into energy so you can experience permanent weight loss. Because this remarkable method targets only your bad fat, leaving vital stores of necessary fat untouched, your body will begin to experience balance in a new and healthier way. As Dr. Julie leads you through her unique weight loss program, your brain will gradually relearn what it means to feel full and to feel hungry. You will find many of your old cravings simply disappear. Call Dr. Julie at Ascent Health Center today to find out how KLZ hosts John Rush, Scott Watley, and Dan Muir put their bodies to work for them with unbelievable results. Call 303-343-8800. That's 303-343-8800. Or go to AscentHealthCenter.com.
This is Scott Watley for my friends at Rampart Firearms in Sedalia. This is a great store, family owned and operated. They buy, sell, trade, and consign firearms. You will find a great selection of new and pre-owned handguns, shotguns, and rifles. If you can't find the gun you want, Rampart Firearms will special order your gun at no extra cost. Found a gun on the internet? Rampart Firearms will do one firearm transfer and the background check for only $10 if you mention Sportsman of Colorado. Rampart Firearms, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050. Located at Highway 66. In Santa Fe in Sedalia. Rampart Firearms opens 7 days a week. 720-468-0050.
Wake up with Steve Curtis. Weekday mornings at 6 on KLZ 560.
Welcome Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado again. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley. Willie Schmidt is with us from Pure Hunting. Trevin Stolzfus from Outback Outdoors. We've got John Gale on the line with us. John is the conservation director for Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. So, John, thanks for staying with us through that break.
You bet.
We'll get into some more things here in just a minute. But first of all, I mean, I think your organization is great, and we were kind of talking in a segment previous to you coming on about, you know, there's some great organizations that all of us need to be members of. So talk about how we can become a member, what the cost is, and then what those dollars go for.
Well, thanks. I appreciate the plug there, of course. The Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is a really rapidly growing organization. I think people are attracted to the way we're operating out there. You know, we are the sportsman's voice for our wild public lands, waters, and wildlife, but we're an action-oriented organization that works closely with boots on the ground, doing important work back home at the state and local level, but we also do a lot of advocacy in Washington, D.C., and try and marry those important two elements of work back home on the ground with, you know, that sometimes unpleasant work in the policy realm. And we're seeing some successes along the way. And so I think people are not only just joining Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, which, by the way, is only $25 for an individual membership. I would challenge you to find a less expensive membership with any of our partner organizations out there. But if your listeners are interested in learning more about us, they can go to backcountryhunters.org. We lay it out pretty well there. There's a section where they can join. If they're feeling really passionate about the work we're doing, we offer a suite of lifetime memberships, and there are some amazing promotions going on there. Our good friends over at Kimber Firearms have worked with us to provide, free rifles and free pistols at different membership levels. So, you know, if you join BHA for $1,000, we'll give you a free Kimber micro carry pistol. And if you join at sort of that Gold Life membership level, we are offering the Kimber Mountain Ascent, one of the lightest production rifle out there, and they're making some fantastic stuff. So we've got some great corporate friends out there helping us out, and we'd appreciate having any of your listeners today being a part of the tribe here. You know, I hear this all the time out on the road, whether I'm in the halls of Washington, D.C., or at Sheep Show in Reno, Nevada. People come to BHA and they're like, I finally found my tribe. I belong here. You guys care about what I care about, and you're out doing something about it. And we're attracting, I think a younger demographic, you know, that audience out there that's just looking to go do something, but they want to do it a little bit harder than their dad did, and they want to go a little bit more than, you know, the last guy did. And so we're getting a lot of those, what I call backcountry athletes, attracted to our brand. And we're making it really accessible for first-timers, too. We have a great program called Backcountry University. It teaches people some outdoor skills, first-time backcountry enthusiasts that haven't, you know, done a backpack hunt in the backcountry. Like, we'll help you get there. We'll help you show you how to do it. And sometimes we just start people off with a nice little backcountry fishing trip and, you know, make it seem really accessible to anyone, whether they're a lifelong hunter or angler or completely new to the sport. We created this really welcoming environment, and I think it's paying off in spades, and we're enjoying a lot of growth, and we're putting sort of public lands out there as our front line. You know, public lands are our second amendment, and it's what we care about, it's what we're passionate about, and it's what we're out defending attacks against, whether that's management decisions, wholesale land seizure or transfer or sales or other poor decisions that impact fish and wildlife habitat.
Right. So backcountryhunters.org, is that correct?
You got it.
All right, backcountryhunters.org. Listen, folks, $25. That's about three trips to a Starbucks. Spend $25.
Why are you going to Starbucks, Scott?
I wouldn't go. That's what I mean. But I'm just trying to add up what it's equivalent to. But I mean, you know, this is a great organization. You know, and without organizations like this, we would really be lost. I mean, none of us can fight these battles with, you know, folks in Washington and all the different other groups out there. And Trevin and Willie, you guys know this. All the other anti-groups out there, they're not shy about their groups. They spend the money. They raise money. We better do that for ourselves or we're going to be in trouble.
You know, I think
right,
I think
Scott.
You hit it
Absolutely.
On the head. Yeah. You know, back to 622. I've got a couple things I want to refer people to. Outdoor Life. Go to Outdoor Life. Ben Long just wrote a piece on OutdoorLife.com that is it's great. It's basically talking about the 622 and what it's going to do in simple terms. And then I also have in my grubby little hands a letter from the Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association that was written to Chairman Chaffetz in regards to the response of the law enforcement agents that were looking to have this whole law enforcement spectrum of Forest Service and BLM put on their plate. And it's an interesting, I outlined a couple of things, but basically these guys are saying, hey guys, this is too much. If you do away with the Forest Service law enforcement and the BLM Rangers, we have to do it all, and we're already stretched. A couple things they talk about is just the remote and sparsely populated communities, where these current Rangers, these current BLM Rangers and Forest Service guys already patrol. And if these law enforcement officers that would be taking this over have to go out of the neighborhoods and into these, it's just going to spread them so thin.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, another important element that I would throw in there, too, is, you know, the sheriff's department is a political entity, right? It's an elected office.
Right.
And one of the great things about federal law enforcement officers is they hold sort of civil service positions that are there to serve the needs of all Americans and all of our resources that they're out there to protect. And they don't have to worry about political whims or, you know, any one particular person creating political pressure to drive their own agenda and things like that. They're insulated from that political process. And, In a time where we're seeing politics creep into a lot of our lives, I like the idea of protecting that part of our law enforcement community from the changing winds of politics so that they're free to do their job to the best of their ability any given time without feeling like they're pressured to compromise in any way.
Yeah, it's good.
Absolutely. Again, go to that website, backcountryhunters.org. John Gale is with us again. He's been the conservation director for Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. And, John, we will definitely get in touch with you after the show and get you scheduled in here and get you in studio with us, because I think there's going to be things, all of these fights we're up against are not going to go away. They will either regroup and come back in different ways, different areas. That seems to be what they've all done, you know, from our gun rights and all the different things that we've been fighting. So we really appreciate your time today being with us on Sportsman of Colorado. And, again, thanks for what you do, and we will sure be in touch.
I really appreciate you having me on. It was great talking with everyone here today. And it's nice to have friends out there helping us put out the good word. And it's not all doom and gloom. You know, we're doing a lot of positive things.
Sure.
And
right.
And I like to talk about what we stand up for and the things that we're trying to advance. There's a lot of positive things happening. And so it's important for us to reflect on those things, too. Something else that I'd also encourage your listeners to do is check out our social media channels,
yeah.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're always running promotions for Yeti coolers and great outdoor gear from folks like First Light. So check us out. We'll keep you up to date all across those communication channels, and appreciate the support and look forward to talking to you guys more.
All right.
Thanks for coming
on,
John.
Bud. Appreciate it.
That's John Gale, Conservation Director for Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. Guys, we got a few minutes before this segment's up, and all been on the show circuit a little bit. You guys have put on certainly way more miles than me. I just kind of did the International Sportsman's Expo here, but you guys were a lot of shows. Trevin, you can go first, and we'll get Willie here before the break. But what do you feel the health of the overall outdoor industry is as we sit here today?
Yeah.
throw a softball up there, Scott.
Yeah. Hey, here's the deal. I love everything about the outdoors. I love the people. I love the companies that are involved. The mom and pops that have come up with something neat and have marketed it and made my life as a hunter or a fisherman a better, an outdoorsman better. But I will say this. I have seen in the last couple of years more and more corporate BS, and I'm sorry if I offend anybody with that, but that's the fact of it, come in where these companies buy out other companies. And I'm all for capitalism, don't get me wrong, but here's what happens. Is that my soapbox I'm stepping up on? Yeah. Here's what happens.
Now we can see you.
Yeah, thanks. Ouch, that hurt. What happens is these companies get bought out, and they very rarely do they become better.
Yep.
R&D diminishes. They usually get made cheaper. And I'm not saying better. I'm saying less expensive. They end up, I've seen more and more companies do that. Now, that's a generality, so please forgive me for using a broad paintbrush there. But that's what I'm worried. I saw it happen in the fishing industry, where companies came and bought out all these little companies, and then this one company owns 12 brands.
Yeah.
They didn't get better. And I'm afraid, especially particular in the archery industry, I'm concerned that that's going to happen, and I'm seeing it more and more. And what's happening with me as a person who's promoting it is I have partners, and we work a partnership together, and then you see those go away. And then they have 12 brands, and if you're not representing all 12 brands, well, then we can't work with you. Mm-hmm. Well, then I, you know, a product that I was loyal to for 8 years, yeah, it's just frustrating. What do you right. think, Willie?
Well, I know we don't have a lot of time, but I would echo that wholeheartedly. I mean, anybody who's been to these trade shows, not the consumer ones, because they're all outfitters guides, but if you are there as a distributor or dealer, the number of booths is smaller, their size gets bigger with more companies, and it's really tough to navigate through it. The relationships are lost. I agree that the quality goes down. There will always be mom and pops, but they're getting fewer and far between.
Sure. We got to take a short break. Follow these guys on their Facebook pages as well. You got Pure Hunting, you got Outback Outdoors, and of course us at Sportsman of Colorado. Go to backcountryhunters.org. Become a member today for $25. Help us out. Help yourself out.
Yeah.
You're listening to Sportsman of Colorado. We'll be right back.
Pamper your puppy, coddle your cat. This Valentine's Day, the Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center's Grooming Salon is offering a Valentine's Spa Special for only $15 additional with any full groom. Lavender shampoo, a blueberry facial, toothbrushing, a bow or bandana, and a take-home treat. This is your chance to lavish some love on your little furry friend. February 6th through the 15th, give your pet the deluxe treatment at the Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center's Grooming Salon, where they believe even your pet deserves a little luxury. Call 303-708-8050 or visit LoneTreeVet.com for more details.
Hi, this is Scott Whatley for my friends at One Shot Gear in Englewood. If you are a hunter, you know that after a full year of training, shooting, and planning, when the season rolls around, you're lucky to get one shot at a trophy. At One Shot Gear, they've got you covered with the largest selection of premium hunting gear in Colorado, like Blosser rifles, Sitka gear, and Night Force optics. The One Shot Gear team has the experience, so they can help you find exactly what you need for the hunt of a lifetime. When only the best will do, choose One Shot Gear, located at 4720 South Santa Face Circle in Englewood. One Shot Gear is your premium hunting gear headquarters. Call 303-284-3828. That's 303-284-3828. If Sitka makes it, One Shot Gear has it. They're the largest stocking dealer in Colorado. Ask for Grant. Tell him Sportsman of Colorado sent you. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and you receive 10% off of all clothing and boots. One Shot Gear is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
Hi, Dan Johnson with Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. And right now we're selling all 2017 Chevrolets at employee supplier pricing, plus all the rebates, for a total of up to $11,000 off on some vehicles. And we need your trade-ins, and we'll pay the highest prices anywhere, whether you owe money on it or not. Give us a chance. You won't be sorry. I guarantee you that nobody can sell you a Chevrolet for less than Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the lease. Lynn Lyle Chevrolet, I-225 in East Colfax, or on the web at LynnLyleChevy.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. If you're just joining us, just getting in the car or turning on the radio, my name is Scott Whatley, along with Trevin Stolfus from Outback Outdoors, Willie Schmidt from Pure Hunting, We've been talking a little bit about some issues out there today we all want to make you aware of. A lot of things about transfer of land, you know, taking law enforcement out, helping us out, and a lot of our, I guess it'd be saying just our public lands, right, Trevin?
Right. Basically, they're wanting to do away with any law enforcement from Forest Service or BLM Rangers and throw that back onto the counties, which is the, you know, as you said earlier in the last segment, it's an elected official.
Sure.
And so it's just not the best thing. And let me be honest, guys, when I first saw this, I thought, hey, this ain't bad, because I am a states' rights. I am a let the federal government has a hard time running anything.
Sure.
Let's take this smaller government. Let's take this. But as you look at it and as you peel the onion back, what you realize is that you're about to drop a bomb, because all of a sudden now those public lands cannot be patrolled. We don't have the presence. It's not about wildlife. This issue is not about defunding wildlife or anything like that. It's about having those people out there, because otherwise it's going to be empty. And it will be rampant with poaching. It will be rampant with abuses. A good example is 50 acres of pot grown out there. If it wasn't for the Rangers and the BLM Rangers and the Forest Service finding that stuff, it's going to be up to the sheriff's office. And guess what? They're already, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So even if you get something as simple as grazing rights and somebody's trespassing on others' grazing rights, do you think a sheriff's officer is going to have the time to go out and make the case that needs to force that guy off that person's land who doesn't have rightful? So all of these things compound.
Yeah.
Where that's why the BLM is there. That's why they're, and I agree, I'm not a big fan of some of the things they do. You know, we'll talk about one of them here in a little bit, but I do think that there's a purpose, and they do it, you know, with, we don't have a better option.
Sure.
Well, and frankly, correct me if I'm wrong, you get, say, the White River National Forest here. How many counties do you suppose that covers? So you're not talking about one county sheriff covering all of that. You are talking probably four or five counties that have to figure out, yes, the county boundaries are within that Forest Service, but arguably farther deeper back in there, who is going to be responsible for going back there to make sure that every square inch is covered, when now you have a Forest Service law enforcement officer in White River or however many are, they're covering the borders within that and likely very well.
And they do a great job of crossing over boundaries. There's a lot of work and cross, basically a law enforcement officer for the Forest Service sees an accident, he becomes a first responder.
Sure.
He has the ability to call in reinforcements, all of these different things. It's like the example of the illegal pot grown in the Forest Service. What does he do? He doesn't go make the raid. Well, then he calls in the DEA. Then he calls in the local sheriff. And they team and they partner together. Without that entity, all of a sudden, we're missing a cog in the wheel. Mm-hmm. So,
what are some other things we want to talk about here? We've got a few more minutes left here. Let's talk about Pure Hunting kicking off again.
Well, one thing before we do that, I appreciate that. One thing, Trev and I, that's sort of a hot button that came up again through the social media after 621 was squashed is the film permit issue when you are filming on public lands.
Right.
It's a commercial film permit. And Trev and I have to do that. Anybody filming a TV show that airs on a network has to do that.
Anybody who has a sponsorship.
Correct.
If you're on YouTube, it doesn't matter.
That's right. And I wrote an article for DIY, which is an online publication, that this is not a black and white issue. There is so much gray that's in there. And even on a social media post I know you got involved with about a year ago, there was so much back and forth with people's interpretations of the law. And it's most, again, BLM and Forest Service, our public lands. What can and can't be done? When are you required to have a film permit? Some are more cut and dry. Others, if you receive a sponsorship and you receive it at a discount, are you commercially benefiting from that? It'd be, you know, you got to have to talk to that agency if you're going to go film on that. And
so on public land, you guys, if you want to go film there, you have to pay.
I have to, and not just I say it in, for Willie too, we have to go through a application process that's depending upon the agency, even within the same agency, different states. I mean, this is a government. The Forest Service is
under the USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture.
And you call one office in Colorado, one office in New Mexico, and one office in Arizona, you're going to get three different application processes.
Some of them may be 3 pages, others 12. Some of them, depending on the amount of time they spend on their application, it goes to different classifications. I did something last night preparing for this. I pulled up 2 applications, and this was just at random. I plugged in film permit under the U.S. Forest Service, brought up one under the Rio Grande National Forest, which is here in Colorado, and the other one under the Black Hills National Forest, which obviously is majority South Dakota. Lots of similarities, but lots of differences. Yeah. And that's what makes this so difficult, plus the fact that we're trying to promote our hunting heritage and promoting the opportunities that are there for people who, A, love it. They may be able to afford whatever they want, but they love getting back there in the public lands and trying to promote it for people who can't afford those big high-dollar ranch hunts and want to promote this. And the majority of outdoor television is filmed on private land. Mm-hmm. It's easier, shorter hunts to a degree. Somebody else is doing the work. But frankly, when it comes to the film permits, you're not required to on private land. The money that we spend on applications and film permits can at times equal what you would pay an outfitter for an outfitted hunt.
Yeah.
So it's almost a disincentive to try to promote the way the vast majority of Americans hunt
and
on our public lands.
And that's the way both your shows have always tried to do. Kind of a mission of your show. Public land, get out there, do it like everybody else can do it.
And I'll be honest, there's times, and I know you, Will, you probably agree with me, it's worth spending $500 on a trespass fee, and you can hunt this 3,000 acres of private.
Sure.
Because if I'm there 7 days and it's a $115 application fee, let's just say I'm just random numbers here, but these are in the ballpark. These are definitely real numbers. $150 to $250 a day per camera, okay? So now you go, okay, does a GoPro qualify as a camera? Okay, what about if I'm running, you know what I mean? And every organization is different, okay? So you do a 7-day backcountry archery elk hunt, which sometimes it takes, you know, even more than that, you're spending, and you got 2 cameramen, you add it up. You're basically almost to a fully guided hunt.
You really are, and there's no guarantees. The other problem is the biggest issue, if you go to the 30,000-foot level, the intent of this law made sense. Commercial film permits. It's for filming Dances with Wolves, Lone Ranger, some of these big productions that have 100 or more people on site. They're using our public lands, but they're having an impact on the land. They have to figure their power source, their generation. They have trailers, trucks. Where are you disposing of your waste? How are you cooking your food? Where is that all? That's fine. They should pay that amount of money, and they can film a storyboard, and they have a number of days allocated to it, and they have alternative days if the weather changes. We don't have any of that luxury, and frankly, if Trev and I are hunting buddies and go out and hunt, or if I have the tag and he's filming, what additional impact are we having on the land? Zero. But there are not different designations within the film permit process to have different classifications and make it easier. There are some things on the table, but the problem is they're buried within 10 other riders of that bill, like HB 405, I believe it is. That right now is buried within 10 other laws that they're trying to change. And this bill provides special rules to expand access to federal land and waterways to film crews of 5 people or less. And it would be an annual fee. But frankly, they've tried this a couple of other times, and it's always failed, probably because there's so much wrangling between the Democrats and Republicans, and I'll vote for this if you do this, that it just gets lost.
Well, not to mention all the other line items.
Right.
That's right.
You know, it's great, and people do it all the time. They slide in a little bit of piece of legislation in with a bigger bill or, you know, something like that to get it pushed through. Well, in this situation, and Willie and I have been preaching it for years, please, somebody, let's get the people to speak on this. We are literally doing less impact on the land with 3 people. Let's say we do a 1-person hunt, 2 cameramen. We'll leave less trail than 3 hunters. Part of that is because we're conservationists and the way we hunt.
Right.
But honestly, we're not trashing. We want our kids to be able to hunt here. We want to embrace the fact that these are public lands are here for us, but we can't without paying this exorbitant fee.
And I know somebody spouted off that, oh, you're benefiting from it, you just want a cheaper access. It's not so much that. I'm willing to pay whatever fair share. It's a cost of doing business. But make it practical.
Mm-hmm.
Make it fair.
Right.
And I hate the word fair because fair's all's fair in love and war, and we're neither there. But something that makes some sense. Again, one of the we could probably have a whole show on this topic in particular. But let's just say, and I've gone through this, You have a mountain lion potential hunt that goes arguably, let's just say, from January 1st through March 31st. Mm-hmm. That's 90 days. The way that you fill these applications out, and sometimes you can get somebody who understands and can work with you, I say I want a four-day film permit. Which days? Well, I don't know. It's weather-dependent. It's driving out there. Will we find it? So I can't afford 90 days of a film permit on BLM at $250 a day. So how do you do it and follow the intent of the law?
Right. And sure. And another example is my mountain goat hunt in 2008. It's a 10-day hunt. It was 5 days. You take a weekend off, 5 days. I applied partially because of ignorance on my part. That's bad on me. I applied for all that time, turn around, and guess what? I killed it 11 o'clock opening morning. Guess who didn't refund my money? I spent.
You're kidding.
No.
No.
Nope. They would not refund the money, even though I only really needed a film permit till about 2 o'clock by the time I packed that animal out.
Wow.
On the first day.
Wow.
They won't issue a refund. I've talked. I have gotten some confidants, for lack of a better term, in Forest Service and BLM, a couple of offices, and I bounce these ideas off of them. And they never think of it that way because they're thinking the big picture of sure. these big productions. I mean, if you're filming a commercial, if you're an Under Armour athlete and you want to go film on National Forest, if it's rainy one day, you'll schedule for another day. That's fine. Here's your storyboard. Where are you going to access? We're going to access here. Where are you going to go? The elk are going to dictate where I'm going to go. And if the weather's so bad I have to cancel it, I can't issue a refund because I can't go back at a later date because the season might be over.
Right.
So there's a lot of trying to put a square peg in a round hole, which doesn't make sense.
Man, we are out of time today. We're going to do this again and more often.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome.
A lot of great issues here. And tell you what, next week we're going to try to we'll do another segment on and talk about pure hunting, Outback Outdoors a little bit there as well. Be sure and go to backcountryhunters.org. Become a member today. And also want to thank John Gale for being with us. Again, Conservation Director from Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. Trevin, thank you, sir. Willie Schmidt, thank you, bud.
Thank you both.
And thank you for joining us on Sportsman of Colorado. Have a great day and leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.